Amen. Good morning, church. Feels good to be gathered this morning, doesn't it? You know, it's been almost a whole month since the last time all of us were together in one room worshiping God like this. 3 weeks ago was our campus spring retreat, which was awesome. And then we had the marriage retreat the next weekend, which was a great time. And last Sunday was Community Sunday. And wasn't that a great time meeting in each other's homes together? You know, we had a great time at the Lalage's home in Fairlawn. And Community Sunday was a huge success. There was around 115 guests that came out and worshiped at different people's homes. And just so great to be able to worship God with each other in one another's communities. Lots of exciting stuff is going on. Very, very excited about Kyrie's mom getting baptized today. Many answered prayers with that. You know, this last week was the official start of spring. So spring has begun, and I do want to say happy spring. And this is what we were looking at for spring this year. And so there's some irony in that. That's what our campus spring retreat looked like, too. It's been a wintry spring, but it is exciting. I think it's right around the corner, though. You know, the snow melted really quick. And today, I think hopefully the rest of it will be gone. But happy spring. You know, this is also the season of new beginnings, right? And so I have one more special announcement. This last week, Russ Murdoch Sr. proposed to Carla Ruiz. They're now engaged. You guys can stand up where you are. They're in the back there. Very, very exciting for them. You know, Carla's been serving for a while now as an amazing campus shepherd in our campus ministry. And both faithful men and women to God. So very, very exciting to see them going to be getting married. So congratulations, you guys. You know, today is Palm Sunday, right? And so this is the Sunday before Easter. And I keep on speaking on Palm Sunday. You might not remember that, but I do. And this time it was actually an accident. It's probably been an accident a few times. But I said, yeah, we're working through the rotation. I'll take March 25th. And then I'm starting to think about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Palm Sunday again. And so, you know, keep looking at these same passages. But it's good. The Bible's awesome. And so Palm Sunday, it's a week before Jesus dies on the cross and then resurrects, which is what we celebrate on Easter, is his resurrection. And so Jesus, you know, enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the praise and worship of people, disciples waving palm branches, worshiping him as he's the king entering Jerusalem. And so, you know, we're going to start reading in Luke 19 today. But so Jesus, he's going in Jerusalem to die on the cross and rise again. And so this is a week before that happens. He's coming into Jerusalem, and what he does before he gets there is he sends his disciples ahead of him to secure a donkey for him. He's like, it's like getting an Uber back in the day, right? He's like, all right, go there. There's going to be a young donkey. And then so they go, they find everything for Jesus just like he said it would be. And then now Jesus is ready to enter Jerusalem on this donkey that they found for him. And so I'm going to read out of Luke 19, and it'll be up on the screen. And then I'll transition into the same story out of the book of Matthew. So obviously, the Gospels have some of the same stories in them, so you get a full picture when you read them together. So, Luke 19 says, they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, that's a baby donkey, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And so this is the passage where we get Palm Sunday from, Jesus being praised and worshiped with the waving of palm branches. And so what do we see the disciples doing here? What are the disciples doing? The disciples are joyfully praising their King Jesus. The disciples are praising Jesus. They're honoring him as their king. They're worshiping him. They're in awe of him. You know, before I came up, we sang an amazing song, Stand in Awe, right? And we need to stand in awe of Jesus like the disciples did here. The title of my message today is Grow in Awe of God. This year, our theme is grow, and we're talking about growing in different ways. And so one of the things we need to grow in is our awe of God. Of like these disciples realizing and appreciating how awesome our God is. Grow in awe of God. Grow in awe in the name of the Lord. Be in awe of Jesus. My goal for this message today is to just try to scratch the surface of understanding who God is in a way that drives us to be in deeper awe of him. And then if you're in deeper awe of him, I hope that that will cause you, as it should, to love and revere him more appropriately as the amazing God that he is. And if you're in awe of him and you love him and you revere him, then your life will reflect that, right? If you're in awe of him, we'll live in awe of him. And so I'll have some practical application, but a lot of it I'm just going to leave up to you at the end here. And we're going to focus on being in awe of God. And then you can figure out as you grow in awe of him what that needs to look like in your life. So what is awe? The definition of awe is a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder. Right? And there's something where you're in reverence of someone. If you're in awe, you're like, this is amazing. In a way that's just overwhelming to you, that you think this is awesome, it's scary, but it's also incredible. Right? And it's powerful. And you know, we need to be in awe of Jesus. To be in awe, some synonyms are to be in wonder, amazement, fear, honor, admiration, esteem, reverence, worship. Right? We hear these words and we know that Jesus deserves our awe. For us to be in awe of him. Jesus deserves a constant place of awe in our lives. And what I love about the passage I read is they're like, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop praising you. And he's like, look, I'm awesome. And I don't think he's saying that in a boastful way. He just knows, look, I'm God. And if they don't worship me, the stones will cry out. Right? Because Jesus just deserves to be honored and praised. That's who he is. He's owed honor and worship. And if we keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And so we shouldn't be quiet. We should be those who are in awe of God and who praise him. You know, a passage that I think is really inspiring is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 and 26 about God. This isn't working well. Can you go back, Genesis? I guess I don't have it up there. Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26 says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Isn't that an amazing passage about God? He's like, who are you going to compare me to? Look up at all the stars in the sky. Who created all of these? Who brings them out? Who knows every single one of them? You know, that's who God is. What amazes me about God is that God conceptualized, designed, and then materialized and created every single star and thing out there in the universe. Right? Every single color that exists, God thought of that and created that. Every animal, every plant, every hair on your head, God thought of and he made it. Isn't that amazing? You know, he knows the whole universe intimately, however massively big it is. But then he also knows each individual person individually, no matter how many billions of us there are. You know, like this passage says, no one compares to God. And so this morning, how awesome do you view God? Where are you at in your awe of God? Do you really view him as this awesome and amazing God? You know, God wants us to know how awesome he is. That's why he gave us passages like this to read, to realize who he is. And I think that's also why God gives us things like storms, lightning, wind, thunder, fire, the ocean, mountains, sunsets, an ever-expanding universe beyond our comprehension. I think these things exist just to give us a taste or an idea of his awesomeness. Wow, if this is this amazing, imagine what God is like if he made this and came up with this. You know, in life there are things that amaze us, right? There's things that you go through in your week or in the time of your life and you get excited about it. You jump up and down about it. It might be something you see someone do, right, on a show or in real life. It might be a sports event or something that happens with your favorite team. A movie you see can make you excited, right, and just get pumped up about something, a certain food or activity that you could do. We get excited about stuff, right? And sometimes we're really dramatic in our expression of excitement about certain things. We start yelling, we're just jumping up and down about it. And things get us really excited in life, and I think that's great. But what we gotta remember that is that if you saw God, if you saw God face to face, the Bible says you would just die. You would die. We couldn't handle it. You'd suddenly be bored with everything else that's ever excited you. Like, oh my gosh, that's nothing. If you didn't die, that's how you would feel. You know, God himself says, who will you compare me to? We gotta know God compares to no one. God compares to nothing. So however exciting you think something else is, God doesn't even begin to compare an excitement to that. He's so much bigger, so much better. So we must know, we've gotta know as disciples how radiant, impressive, awesome, dominating our God really is. And so the better we know God, the greater our awe of him will be in our lives. Right? God's not a God who, as you get to know him better, you're like, not as good as I thought it was going to be. Right? You hear a bunch of hype about a movie and then you see it. This happened to me with Justice League last week. I finally watched it. I was like, Marvel, I feel like, is doing so much better. You know, sorry if you like Justice League a lot. Batman's cool. But not the Ben Affleck one as much, though. I think the last one was better. You know, but we hear things, and as we get to know it better, we're like, it's not as awesome as I thought it was. What's great about God is the more you get to know him, the more in awe of him you become. You're like, whoa, I didn't even realize that about him. And you get to know God better, you grow more in awe of him. You know, in the passage I read earlier from Luke 19, people seeing the commotion over Jesus, the people seeing all this praise about him go, who is this? They didn't know who he was, and so they weren't praising him. The people that were praising Jesus answered and said, this is Jesus, right? So they knew who he was, and then that's why they were praising him. The more you know who Jesus is, the more you'll praise him. You know, those worshiping Jesus said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Right? They knew his name. This is Jesus. And they just knew his name. They knew what that name meant. They knew who he was, and so they praised him. And I really just have one point for today on growing in awe, and that's just be in awe of his name. Be in awe of the name of God and what that entails. A title or a name helps us understand who someone is better, right? Once you know somebody's name or a title they have, then we understand and we know them a little bit better. And certain names and certain titles can invoke awe in us that maybe wasn't there before we knew their name or title, right? You know, I think about maybe last year, Chelsea and I were out at a show, and we're in the crowd. We were seeing a show on Broadway, and there was a lot of people in the theater lobby, and there was a woman in there, and I honestly wouldn't have noticed her from anybody. I would have thought stranger, right? Well, she was a stranger. And then Chelsea's dad, who was there with us, says, guys, that's Jessica Capshaw from Grey's Anatomy, right? And so does anyone watch Grey's Anatomy? So she's one of like the lead role women in the show that I've never seen before. And so this woman goes from being stranger I wouldn't have turned my head out to, oh my gosh, it's this woman from Grey's Anatomy. And next thing I know, so I know that Leah Serviano loves Grey's Anatomy. And so I'm like, oh, Leah's gonna be so jealous when she finds out I was in the same room as this person. So next thing I know, I go from this being a stranger I would have just walked right past to trying to position myself to get a good picture of her. And so I'm like up on the one staircase and she's right like 5 feet away from me and I'm like subtly just trying to take a picture. And I got a pretty good one and I sent it to Lee and I was like, look who I was standing right next to. And so, you know, from this experience though, this person went from stranger to one of lead actresses in Grey's Anatomy, Jessica Capshaw, a name I never would have cared about, but now it matters, right? And it goes from being just like a person you'd stand next to, like, oh, give me some space, to let me try to get a picture of you, right? You grow in awe of somebody because of their name or title. Does that make sense? You know, names and titles mean a lot, right? When somebody's your brother or sister, that means something. Or your father, your mother, a coach, a professor, a friend, a doctor, a boss, right? A title, a name, it carries with it their identity, who they are, what they can do or what they do or what they're about, right? And so when we understand someone's name and their title, we understand them better, right? We could praise someone by knowing their name and their titles, right? When we know someone's name and we know who that is, and we know that they're someone that we love and admire, then even just hearing their name invokes a sense of admiration, right? So for example, think about somebody we look up to and love a lot, Mark Persing right here, right? Look, I could have been in another room of people and said Mark Persing, and they would not have known who I was talking about. But in here, I just said Mark Persing, and ooh, yeah, right? We love Mark. Because we know that name, right? We know the name Mark Persing, and so when we hear it, we feel like, oh, Mark, we love Mark. What are some of Mark's titles? Mark is a disciple of Jesus. He's a student at William Patterson University. Mark is a musician. He's a friend. He's a brother of Brett and Lydia. He's the son of Mark and Margaret Persing, right? Mark has these titles, and each of them make us know him better when we hear them, right? And also, because those were good things, it also invokes some awe there, right? Like, oh, he's Mark and Margaret's son. That's awesome, right? If you didn't know that. Or, you know, if you knew Brett well, be like, oh, he's Brett's brother. That's cool, right? So when we hear people's names and titles, it can invoke knowing them better and then also being in awe of them. Now, imagine doing with God what I just did with Mark, right? I ran through some of Mark's titles. Imagine doing that with God. Who is God? You know, God is unique in his being. There is no one else like him. He is the only God. And he has many names and titles in the Bible that give us insight into who he is. And I think the more we see of who he is, the greater our awe of him will be. The more we see of his name and who he is, the greater our awe of him will be. The quote-unquote name of God is a major theme in the Bible. You might have seen this, but a lot of times it talks about the name of the Lord, the name of God. His name means something. You know, his name is a theme in the Bible. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. It says we should call on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is not to be taken in vain. We are to minister in the name of the Lord. His name is called Wonderful. And then in the New Testament, we see the name Jesus used the same way that the name of God is used throughout the Old Testament, showing that they're the same. Salvation is through his name. We are to live in his name. Prayer is to be made in his name. The New Testament talks about worshiping in his name, service in his name, suffering in the name of Jesus. And then a great passage in Philippians 2, it's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so to be in awe of God, we've got to know his name. We've got to know his titles. We've got to know, well, who is he? And the more we get to know, well, who is he, the more in awe of him we will be. You know, the rest of my lesson here is going to be a little bit different than normal speaking that I do or whatever. I did a study over the course of a year or so as I read through the Bible and was writing down, making my own list of all the different names and titles that God has in the Bible. And just anytime he was called something different, like with a capital letter type of thing, you know, the Holy One, whatever, I would just write that down, and it helped me understand who is God in a deeper and better way. So studied out his names and titles used in the Bible, and I put together this descriptive list using almost all of them. I might be missing a couple. Using almost all of them that I'm going to read to you to help you see, well, who does the Bible say God is? What are his names and his titles in the Bible? And I think I got most of them. This is also without diving too deep into the Hebrew. I'll throw one Hebrew word out there. But the rest are just from the English translations of the New Testament and the Old Testament. And, you know, obviously, there's so many more titles we could attribute to God that aren't even written in the Bible. the sea splitter, you know? You come up with some cool stuff. He's the one who parts seas, right? And sounds like some good superhero names. But I didn't even make up, and this is just ones that are actually used of God in the Bible. And so you could even come up with a lot more titles. These are just like capital letter titles and names of God in the Bible. And so as I read this, it'll be on the screen. And every name that's bolded and in a different color is a name or title that's used in the Bible for God. And so I have in parentheses after it the verse that that is found in. If any of these stand out to you, or you say, wow, I really needed to hear that that's part of who God is, maybe you could jot that down and go to that verse and study it out on your own time if some of these names and titles of God stand out to you and inspire you. And so I just hope you could follow along and listen to this and see from this how awesome God is based on his names and titles found in the scriptures. Amen? Does that sound good? Cool. So this is the only Hebrew thing I got here. But just to start off, God is called God in the Bible, right? G-O-D. And the word God in the Hebrew is this word Elohim. And the word Elohim in Hebrew is really cool because it's a plural word. It's a plural word that means strong one. So it's a plural word that means one. Isn't that pretty cool? The strong one in a plural sense. So it's a plural of majesty, and it implies the Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are the strong one. A plural one that is majestic. And this word is especially used of God's sovereignty, creative work, mighty work for Israel, and in relation to his sovereignty and kingship in the scriptures. I just think it's amazing that the word for God is a plural word meaning strong one. And then he's called the Almighty, who stands on the mountains and summons the thunder, having unlimited power, omnipotent, distinct and infinitely exalted above his creation. Nature and creation cannot contain him any more than an artist can contain in his painting. There is nothing God cannot do. He is the Most High God. This name illuminates God's strength, sovereignty, and supremacy over everything. It shows that he is above all. There is no one, nothing that compares to him. The everlasting God. God never gets tired, never goes to sleep, never is absent, always has been, always is, and always will be. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is before and after all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the Amen. What he decides, so it will be. The maker and creator of the heavens, the earth and the constellations, the ocean and the land. He himself has given us life and breath and everything else. The great I am is his name. The Lord is our banner. God is our rallying cry and our means of victory, the one who fights for his people. The Lord will provide. God provides for his people. By name and by nature, he is the provider. He will make sure you have everything you need at all times. He will take care of you. The Lord is our peace and rest. God is our comforter and consolation through sadness and times of hardship or trial. He really cares about you, about what you are going through, and he is there with you. The Lord of hosts is the commander of the armies of heaven. He summons legions of angels. He is the governor and master of all the earth and universe. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. He is the ruler of all creation and the eternal and just judge, reigning as the great fear, perfectly blameless in his holy temple. In him there is no darkness at all. He is all good all the time, always righteous and doing what is right. He is the sovereign and holy one. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. But God is also our advocate, who publicly speaks to support us, defend us, and for our cause. He pleads our case. He will boldly stand before your accuser, that ancient serpent called the devil, and defend your name. He is the faithful and true witness, our guardian angel, the great apostle, and the voice of a prophet proclaiming his message to every nation, and who has brought this great gospel to us, which is Jesus, the gift of God. The Messiah is our means of sanctification, the horn of our salvation. The Lord is our deliverer from the power of Satan, slavery of sin, and troubles of this life. He is the redeemer of our life from the pit, the Passover Lamb of God, who was slain as the sacrifice for our sins, our Savior, who became our ransom. God gave himself to save us. He humbled himself and became the friend of sinners. He is our great high priest and mediator to connect us with God. He is the purifier of our souls and refiner of our character. He cares about who you are and wants you to be great for his glory. The Lord cares for his people as a shepherd cares for his pasture, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus is the chief shepherd, good shepherd, and great shepherd of our souls, guiding, directing, protecting, and ushering us towards him. He is the gate into our home in heaven. God is our everlasting Father. Through Jesus, God becomes our personal Father. Father is used of God in the Bible 260 times. Our Abba, intimate Father. He loves you as a parent to his child. The Christ, Jesus, is the branch, promised as king from the root of David. Every person ever born will fall at the feet of the Lion of Judah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Emmanuel, God with us, the Anointed One. Jesus, the Nazarene, is the seed of Abraham, born of a virgin, the son of Mary, the son of David, son of man, son of God. The Most High, the second and last Adam, who gives life to all who earn death. The first and only of his kind, who never sinned, although tempted in every way that we are. He is the Word and image of the invisible God. Jesus is the bread of life, the source of strength in our existence, our daily bread, and so we no longer hunger, the fountain of living water we can drink from and never thirst. He is the potter that formed us in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He is our portion, our cup, and our ultimate reward, my crown and my diadem. He is the bridegroom, a faithful husband to his church, of whom he is eternally vowed as the head. He is the vine that binds us all together to be a fruitful branch and gardener that keeps us growing. He is the resurrection to a new and eternal life, the first fruits from the grave, declaring, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" From the start of each morning, he is the day spring, the morning star, and the day star, the glory of God all day and all night over the earth, the Son of righteousness. The Mighty One is our pride, and he is also our God, who tells us what is best for us and leads us in the way everlasting. He is our rabbi, our teacher, to a life that is truly life and a truth that sets us free. He is our wonderful counselor. In gentleness, wisdom, and care, he is our great physician, binding the wounds of the broken and healing the sick, a servant leader to our needs. He is the carpenter who builds our house on the rock. He is our firm foundation and cornerstone. He is the sacred stone and the solid rock on which we stand, our refuge and helper in times of trouble, a stronghold whom we can cling to, our fortress and shield from the storm. He is our dwelling place and constant presence. God is home. God is always here. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the light of the world and Prince of Peace, the Mighty, Righteous, and Upright One, enthroned in heaven. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Isn't that inspiring? If you wanted to look at what's the name of God, what are the titles of God, there it is. That's what the Bible tells us God is. And so, as they asked in Luke chapter 19, who is this Jesus? That's who he is. That's who God is. He's all of those things all the time. Not even to mention what he's done if we tried to list that. This is just who he is. Every day, this is the God that's on your side, the God that's with you, the God that you're following. And if you believe that, that should create in you just a radical security, value, comfort, love, gratitude, boldness, confidence, vision for your life. If you really believe this is God, And this is the God that's with you. So are you in awe of God today? And if you're in awe of God, I want to ask, what would look different in your life if you were truly in awe of Him? If we're in awe of Him, we'll praise Him and we'll please Him. If we understand who He is, we'll just say, God, You're amazing. And our life will be about praising Him. And our life will be about pleasing Him. Because we revere Him and we respect Him and we're grateful for Him. If you're in awe of God, you'll be grateful and joyful always. If you're in awe of Him, you'll always trust Him. You'll live righteously and urgently repent of sin. You'll eagerly tell other people about Him. You'll hold nothing back for Him if you're truly in awe of Him. And so I want to encourage you this morning to grow in your awe of God. Keep getting to know God better. You know, when you pray, start your times of prayer off just thinking about different titles and names of God and worshiping Him with them and acknowledging Him with them. You know, and then as you pray or you're thinking or you're going through life with stuff, we've got to remember this is the God we're praying to. And then whatever hardships or challenges or sin we're dealing with, we've got to know this God can help us with it. This God is bigger than whatever we're stuck in or trying to make it through. God is bigger and He's way more awesome than anything else. You know, one of the things that stands out to me reading this is that God is most definitely just everything we need. And God's not just everything we need, He's everyone we need. Right? I mean, you need a friend, that's one of His titles. You need a father, He's a father. You need a counselor, He's the counselor. You need someone to forgive you, He's the Savior, right? You need someone to lead your life, we all do. He's our Lord and Master, right? He fills every single role that we could be looking for in anywhere or anything else. He fills every single role. And what's awesome about God is He is all of these things and He never changes. He never changes. He is who He is. So God is all of this that I just read every day, all the time in our lives. And so from reading this, we've got to remember when you say God, when you talk about God, you know, I prayed to God this morning, or I believe in God, or I don't know if God can help me with it. When you say God, this is who you're talking about. What I just read is who you're talking about. We've got to remember when we sin, that's who we're disrespecting. When we're in sin, that's who we're acting out against. When you pray, that's who you're asking for help and who you're talking to. When you share your faith, that's who you're trying to bring into somebody else's life. When you look at the cross, that's who died for you. This amazing God that we believe in. That's who's with us every day and wants to live through us. You know, God is an awesome God. I'm going to ask the song leaders to come up to lead us in a closing song here. But I hope this morning on Palm Sunday that we can focus on growing in our awe of God. That will lead us to want to know God deeper and to live a life in awe of Him. That our lives will reflect how awesome He is in praise and in pleasing Him. And I hope that you really feel from hearing the names and titles of God this morning that God is so worthy of admiration, service, obedience, commitment, everything we've got to give Him. Amen? Amen? So let's live in awe of God. Wonder, reverence, admiration, because our God is awesome. Amen? Amen.